Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 8:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa K.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio, thanks for joining us, everybody. Fun show lined up for you today. I am killing a little bit of time hoping Brittany will call it. Being honest with the audience, I was hoping Brittany would be able to join us. We'll get your forecast for you, though, in a little bit. She's busy.
But right now, the sun is shining.
It is beautiful outside right now, Melissa. It is really nice. Ah, there she is. All right.
All right.
We like to kick things off talking a little Mother Nature with our good friend Brittany. Good morning, Britt.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good here. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Enjoying the sunshine while we still have it.
Huh. Oh, that was ominous. I think it's, what's coming?
Right? Well, I mean, that hurricane, right? Hurricane is moving its way towards us. It's tropical depression now, but it is going to bring us cloudy skies here by this afternoon and into the evening. All the rain will stay to the south. We could see a pop-up shower, storm possible, very minor chance of that. That chance just continues throughout the entire week. I mean, we're getting that normal summer heat, that humidity, so shower and thunderstorm chances will be popping up all week long randomly. But I just think it's so cool to think about this hurricane came from way off in the ocean, made its way through the Gulf, and now it's making its way all the way to Wisconsin. It's a rare event for it to do so. So, hey, I'm not going to complain about the clouds today, that's for sure.
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm with you on this, Brittany. I think it is pretty cool. Weather is just interesting to me as it is, but what is happening with that is quite fascinating. At the same time, I didn't hear a lot of what you said. I was Googling how to prepare for a hurricane. I've never had to do this before. Just going to go ahead and get that set up, just bookmark that just in case. Just
plywood. Lots of plywood.
Plywood. Right. We appreciate you, Brittany. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Sounds good. Have a good day.
You too. Best in the business right there. She is right. It is pretty interesting.
It is. And tropical depression, not something we expect to hear in our weather forecast in Wisconsin.
No, not at all. Something you can expect to hear, the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. That is right around the corner, everybody. Mm-hmm. Melissa and I will also get into a couple of other fun ones. Gen Z has hit the tattoo regret stage of life. McDonald's is actually adding something that sounds kind of interesting. Might be good. We'll check that out. And we have three dog breeds that are most at risk for heat stroke this summer.
Ooh, okay.
We also have an interesting note. We're going to kind of go from entertainment to entertainment as we go from our last segment this hour to the next hour, because I've got an interesting one here. 13 rules Bachelorette contestants have to follow.
Oh, oh, that should be good.
I'm a little curious. I'll be honest. I have a little curious. I'm more curious about that than I am the show, I'll tell you that. We've got that coming up. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll kick things off with some entertainment. We got some local theater we want to talk about. Our friends over at Pittsville have a new show coming up. Our friends here in Rapids do. We'll get into all that. Talk some rafters as well. And a little bit later in the show, six types of workout equipment that fit under your desk.
Hey.
Get into that one, too. Looking forward to it.
It's going to take up a whole lot less space than your typical treadmill.
Yeah, I'm looking under here, and I could not fit a treadmill. I don't think I could. No.
Well, I don't know, James. They make them pretty little now.
That's true. Maybe just like a unicycle one. Maybe just like I do have somewhere I wanted to start off, but if anybody was listening to CBS News just now, I personally love CBS reporting and I like a lot of what they do. They only have a minute. They only have so much time to get all these stories in. And one of them, not to their fault necessarily, because this is the way that the model of radio works, but one of those stories that they touched on, I just wanted to take a moment with. Did anybody hear towards the end of that about the gentleman that had his voice box replaced?
That's really incredible.
I had not heard about this, so I instantly looked it up, and right away it popped up. There's this great video of him talking with the doctor and talking about it. For those that didn't hear, this man had a cancerous voice box, and they replaced it with a donated one, and he can talk now.
That's really incredible.
He has to press kind of the middle of his throat to do it, but that's his voice. It's him talking, and to see his loved ones... Man, that hit me.
Be able to, hear his voice again. That's really incredible.
It really is. And I understand that we've kind of gotten to a point in science and health that we normalize a lot of these things, but we can't. We can't normalize this stuff. That's that's amazing. I almost swore. That's how amazing it is. I've never sworn on the air, and that was almost it right there, because that is amazing.
That is amazing.
We have to highlight these things more. We have to talk a little bit more about our medical field and our scientists and the work that they are doing. I didn't even know this was possible, Melissa.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a little overshadowed by the criminal insurance companies that we have.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's hard to focus on the good when you have so much negative to talk about. But yes, the advances and the ability to do that are just fantastic.
I'm dealing with a lot of that insurance stuff, like almost every single person out there listening is. I think we understand that it's still important to be able to take these highlights, and, mm-hmm. and you can do two things at once. You can certainly have in your mind that you understand that the insurance game is a joke, and it's literally killing hundreds of people. It's destroying our healthcare system, et cetera, et cetera. I want to focus on this. I mean, we know all those things. I would hope you know all those things. If you don't, do some dang homework, or you just have never had a health problem in your life, which, hey, congratulations to you. Otherwise,
sadly, you're poor enough that you get state coverage that covers everything, which it does, and it's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. It's just a beautiful story. I encourage you to go look that one up, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The Midwest has a reputation of being a little more polite than other areas of the country, but is that true? Someone polled 2,000 Midwesterners to find out. I was not asked to be on this poll. I was a little hurt by that. Did you get asked, Melissa? We should have gotten asked for this. They didn't.
Well, you know, I'm not really bothered by it because I'm generally a polite person.
Yes, incredibly. Yes. they didn't poll people in other areas of the country, so there's no way to do an apples-to-apples kind of comparison, but here are some good-mannered things and how many Midwesterners do them. Apologizing when you're when you've done nothing wrong. 74%. Right out the gate, hitting hard. Oh, I felt that one. 74% of Midwesterners say that they do that regularly.
And honestly, not to, again, turn negative, but sometimes this can be negative.
Yeah.
Remember our passive-aggressive conversation from yesterday?
Absolutely.
It almost falls into that sometimes.
You're 100% right, yeah.
Because you should, and I know it's almost like a polite response, like habit. Like, sorry. You know, it's such a Midwestern thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to be careful that you don't overuse it in the wrong situations.
It's a really good point, yeah. Wave to people you don't know. 64% of people do this.
Yes, yes.
I got to be honest.
I used to do it a lot, especially as a teenage driver. I waved at everybody passing them on the road.
When we first moved up here, my nan and papa were kind of freaked out by this.
Is something wrong?
Yeah, they literally thought something was wrong with the vehicle. Yeah. Like they were trying to wave them down, like, hey, your taillight's out or something. Mm-hmm. Once they realized what was going on, they waved to everybody. They waved to.
I loved the meme that was going around for a little while of, you know, are you lonely in your life? Just tape a cup of coffee to the top of your car. And you won't be lonely anymore because everybody will wave at you. Or you could just drive around in the Midwest in the country.
It's pretty good, both of them. Hold doors open for strangers. 55% claim that they do that.
Only 55?
That's sad.
I've experienced a much higher occurrence of that.
In my life, I've experienced way more than 55% of that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Bringing a shared dish to a party. 73% have done that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Even when you're not asked, how about that one though? If you're not asked to bring one, is that polite or is it rude?
Party,
Yeah, that makes sense. Smile at strangers. 80% of us do that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
80%. That's good.
Mm. There's a gentleman that I pass going to my parents' house, and he's out every morning working on his yard or something or another. And I wave to him or I'll smile at him, and nothing. I get nothing, but I keep doing it. Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the thing. Some people aren't smilers. They just aren't.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I'm a big believer in, and maybe this adds to number one on our list here. I'm a big believer in when I tell somebody, you know, have a good day or I love you or something like that, I'm not saying it to say, have it said back. You know, I mean, I don't mind it said back, but
you're not saying it with an expectation.
Yeah. So smiling at somebody, waving at somebody, I think it's a very similar thing to that.
Mm-hmm.
Tip well. 59% of us tip well.
Yes.
Yeah.
We won't delve into that.
It's tough
that conversation.
It's hard not to, though, isn't it?
Well, having been a former waitress, that is a large portion of your income.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad that that's still the environment that we live in. But I do still tip well because I've experienced it, and I know what that. Working
yeah.
in that job is like.
I always think of my Aunt Marion. She was a waitress for 30 years, and the best I ever saw at it, and how much her tips meant to her and everything. I can't help but think of that.
And I don't tip based on service all the time. Even if I have bad service, I'm still going to leave them a tip.
Yeah, yeah.
I know it's part of their income.
I will say I leave a good tip no matter what, but I will go a little above and beyond if it's great service.
Oh, absolutely.
You do like to note that. You do like to, hopefully they note that and they see that. And yep. Help a neighbor out with a chore. 45% of us do that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's always good to be neighborly.
It's a good way to get to know your neighbors, too. And you never know. Mm-hmm. My parents did this with the people across the street a bit when they first moved in. And it's an older couple, and they got to know them a little bit. Years and years later, they had the fire happen at their house. And that family was integral in helping us. They called. We were busy trying to get the animals and everything out of the house. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that called the fire department, which got them there faster, which may have saved the house.
Yeah.
I mean, you just never know how being friendly as a neighbor could help you out, man.
Absolutely.
Give a stranger directions. 80% of us will do that.
Yeah, yeah. They may not be, you know, cardinal directions, but they might be, just drive down this road till you see the gravel road on the left, mm-hmm. turn there, and then head down, it's about 5 minutes down the road, and then you're going to see a BP. Turn right at the BP, and then that'll get you where you want to go.
All directions can be given if you just use a Quick Trip. you got to make it to the Quick. No, not that Quick Trip. The other Quick Trip. You make it to that one. You're so right about that.
Well, some of our small towns have 3 or 4 of them.
So. Yeah, yeah. I will say too. I will go out on the. I don't know if I'm going out on the limb on this one or not. You guys go ahead and let me know. 715-424-2600. I think that we like giving directions.
Well, yeah. So if you know where you're going and somebody doesn't, it's rewarding to be able mm-hmm. to help them get where they need to be.
Something about it feels good. You know, there's not a lot of things in life where you're walking down the street or you're standing there or something and somebody drives up and pulls next to you and asks you a question that you will even answer this stranger. You know, but directions? Oh, yeah, right away. You'll walk right up to the car. Yeah, what you want to do and exactly what Melissa was doing before.
Well, and that wasn't me making fun of anybody. That was me relaying directions that I got one time when I was trying to find someplace up in Clark County. This lady at a gas station because I was looking for gas and they didn't accept credit cards and I had no cash. So she was giving me directions to the closest gas station while
That's
holding
funny.
A cigarette in her hand, standing next to a gas pump.
No, oh God, that is way too much. That happens way too much. And finally, obey the speed limit. Only 40% said that they usually do, and just 37% yield to other cars in traffic. So even Midwesterners aren't that polite behind the wheel.
Yeah,
it happens. The team behind the survey crunched all those numbers and a few more and scored each city on how polite it is. And according to the results, the nicest city in the Midwest is St. Paul, Minnesota. The nicest state is also Minnesota, with two cities in the top five. You have Orland Park, Kansas, Naperville, Illinois, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Des Moines, Iowa. Meanwhile, the two rudest cities in the Midwest are Evansville and Fort Wayne. Then it's Rockford, Illinois, Columbus, Ohio, and Detroit, Michigan.
How did no Wisconsin cities make
I'm looking this
a
up.
List.
Yeah, I'm looking this one up.
Because that almost seems like they didn't have a broad enough pool of people that they were taking the survey. I don't know.
You know what? And the website's not working. The website. I'm trying. I sensed something.
Shut them down
here.
Because they didn't do it right.
I sensed something here. That ain't right. That's a that ain't right story. Yep. Because there's no way you can convince me that there isn't at least one
that
Wisconsin
Madison
city.
Madison isn't nicer than St. Paul.
Mm. You know, at least in the top five. I would put it at least in the top five. I've spent a lot of time in Madison, and for a big city, very polite. Stevens mm-hmm. Point, I will say the same thing. Very, very similar to that. Point, college town, but you run into a lot of good people in that area.
Oh, yeah. Mm. And I would say the same thing about Wisconsin Rapids. Like, personal interactions with people, I've had zero issues.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the roads, maybe that's a little different, but that's maybe kind of the same everywhere when you get behind the wheel.
So true. So true. We will take a time out. We'll come back after checking in with our partners, and we'll have the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning here at WFHR. It's time for the Birthday and Anniversary Club, the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. We get to celebrate our good friends over at El Cafe and you all out there. We appreciate you getting us these birthdays and anniversaries so we can talk about them and talk about our friends at El Cafe that are 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Go on over there, try some of their great, creative, wonderful breakfasts and any of their
all
traditional.
All the roads are open now.
Yes, all roads lead to El Cafe. Head on over there, everybody. Enjoy yourself, enjoy your meal, and say hi to the gang over there for us. We appreciate them.
Before you dive into the list for today, I have an honorary mention, one that cannot be since I'm related.
Mm-hmm.
My stepmom, Jeannie, it's her birthday today.
Oh, hey, happy birthday, Jeannie.
Yeah, have a great day.
Wish you a great one, Jeannie, and I love that name, by the way. It's a great name. Enjoy your day, Jeannie, and you can be like Melissa and talk that into us. Call it into us, everybody. Go ahead, 715-424-2600. Otherwise, you can direct message us on our Facebook pages. You can, of course, email us, info@WFHR.com. However you got to do it, get us those birthdays and anniversaries.
That's right.
Need a one or a two, Melissa?
Let's go with one today.
All right. Gives us that qualifier so we can get into this. And we first up want to wish a happy birthday to Carlene Rosenthal.
Happy birthday, Carlene.
Gosh, that's a beautiful name. Carlene, enjoy your day. Hope it's a good one for you. And we wish a happy birthday to our qualifier, Chuck Korn.
Happy birthday, Chuck.
Happy birthday, Chuck. Enjoy your day.
Congratulations.
I'm pretty sure that every year we've been doing this, we've had Chuck's name on there, and I love that name. That's a great name, sir. It's a great name.
We have a special place in our heart for that name.
Yeah, we do. We do. we take a look at our celebrity birthdays here real quick. And Fred Savage is 48.
Really?
Kevin Arnold on The Wonder Years, the grandson on The Princess Bride, and the mole in the Austin Powers movies. And he's actually turned into a really good director, too. He directs a number of episodes for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and some other stuff. He's done some good work.
I can't believe he's 48.
That is a little, that is a little crazy. He is younger than Jack White, though. Jack White, 49. The White Stripes, The Recounters, The Dead Weather, just an incredible singer and songwriter. All of that, though, kind of pales compared to his guitar playing. Like, he is a heck of a guitar player. One of my favorite artists, really. I'm a big fan of Jack White. I'm a big fan of The White Stripes, all these bands, really. But I was a big fan of The White Stripes and really like Jack White's work.
Yeah.
Jim Kerr is 65, one of my favorite voices of all time. Simple Minds singer. Don't You Forget About Me and Alive and Kicking. Simple Minds, one of my favorite bands when I was a kid. My dad would make fun of me. he didn't think it was really that rockin'. He didn't think it was that great, but I was a big fan of him and a great singer.
Yeah.
Let's see. Kevin Nash is 65. Pro wrestler turned actor. He plays Tarzan in the Magic Mike movies. He's also in the John Wick movies, Rock of Ages, Adam Sandler's The Longest Yard. And he was Super Shredder in the second Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles back in 91. I didn't know that. Wow. He's a good wrestler, but he is great on the microphone. He has always been, it's not surprising to see him get into acting because he was always really like better than average on the microphone for sure.
I haven't finished the John Wick series, but I don't recognize him from anything.
I will recommend that one to. I really will recommend that one. So the John Wick series, not giving anything away, but it's the first time I think I've seen in an action movie series where they actually have an arc of a character and they really do wrap it up. It's like they tell it. If you put all the action aside, which is hard to do, but you put all the action aside,
a lot of it.
You get a real story. You get like an actually cool, kind of interesting story, and you have a character arc. And you don't see that in action movies usually and everything. Mm-hmm. You watch all those movies, and you get a full, like, kind of kind of approach. And did a really good job with that last one. Tom Hanks is 68.
68.
Multiple-time Oscar winner.
Well said.
I would say that everybody's favorite actors. I got a good friend of mine. That's her favorite actor. But I mean, I don't know many people that don't like Tom Hanks.
Don't like at least several of his movies.
The thing about Tom Hanks that stands out to me is the perseverance, the relentlessness. Mm-hmm. Tom gets his big break doing drag on a bosom buddy kind of show, where him and his friend they're staying in they need an apartment, so they stay at an all women's place, and they wear women's clothing and pretend to be women to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. And from that he gets to do movies like Turner and Hooch, Man with One Red Shoe, Volunteers, Splash.
That thing you do.
Yeah, yeah. So he does a lot of early 80s movies and a lot of comedies.
Oh, I jumped to 90s, sorry.
and in that process, he shows little by little that, well, he's not just a comedic actor. He can do thespian work. He can actually perform.
Everything.
He gets to do this movie Punchline, which is his first kind of serious role, his first kind of darker role. Him and Sally Field starred in it. He ends up meeting his wife, Rita, who he's still married to today. But he shows, Tom Hanks can actually, he can do serious stuff. He can do darker stuff. Mm-hmm. And he fights like crazy to get this role in Philadelphia. And it not only changes movies, because the movie Philadelphia changed movies. It's the way we approached HIV, the way we approached AIDS, a lot of these things, not to mention the amount of actors that sprung from that movie. But he wins an Oscar. And people think, oh, that's great. Nice for Tom. He won an Oscar. And then he comes back and shows you he can do it again with Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
And when that's not enough, he decides, I'm going to start directing. And I'm going to start dedicating a lot of my life to our soldiers, to our current enlisted soldiers, our soldiers that have passed. So much of this and so much of his later life has been doing movies and producing things like Band of Brothers and other projects like that. You talk about an arc. for a career, going from The Man with One Red Shoe to a 2-time Oscar winner. Yeah. It's incredible. I don't think we'll ever see another career like his.
Yeah, it would be hard to match.
And that movie you mentioned, that was the first movie he directed. That was a good one. That was a good reference. Yeah, that was a good reference.
Oh. I do want to see A Man Called Otto. I've read the book, which goes by a different name. And it is a darker movie because of the
mm-hmm.
yeah, the material in
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But I would like to see him in that role.
Yeah, I heard great things about it. I haven't gotten to see it yet either, but I heard great mm-hmm. things. The great, the wonderful, the handsome Jimmy Smits is 69. Many people remember him from NYPD Blue. He's been in the Star Wars universe and a couple of other things.
Yeah. He looks familiar.
Yeah, great actor. Great actor.
This handsome man.
John Tesh is 72. John Tesh used to host Entertainment Tonight and some things like that, but he's a musician. And while he's done a lot of great work, especially John Tesh at Red Rocks is impressive. And it's not even my style of music, and it's impressive. But he did the NBA on NBC theme song, and that is really what he is famous for.
Oh.
It's one of the greatest theme songs ever. It's incredible.
I do recognize some of his songs.
Dean Koontz is 79. Horror writer, wrote Odd Thomas in a novel called Watchers that inspired a Corey Haim movie. And
many books.
So many books. Man, that man has written a lot of books.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Stephen King, he might be the king of writing horror. He might be. And some people no longer with us, like Richard Roundtree, who would have been 82 today. He is Shaft, born in 1942, the original Shaft. Brian Dennehy. Born on this day in 1938, passed away in 2020. Cocoon, he was in Cocoon. He played Chris Farley's dad in Tommy Boy. The perfect father for Chris Farley, character.
Yeah, he looks a lot like Chris Farley. Apparently,
they had a lot of fun together filming and everything, too. He was the sheriff in First Blood, the classic FX. Brian Dennehy, incredible actor, an incredible career.
Mm-hmm. Kind of looks like your typical, cop figure.
Yeah,
but I don't know
yeah.
if he played any cops, did he?
In Rambo he did, and in First Blood, and I think he did a couple, at least one or two other times in his career. And that is going to do it for our birthday and anniversary club list. We encourage you to get us more birthdays and anniversaries so we can celebrate with you, and we encourage you to celebrate with our good friends over at El Cafe. Go visit them. They're open right now. 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR.
Round, round, get around, I get around, yeah, get around, round, round, I get around, I get around, get around, round, round.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James here with you. Hope you're having a great day out there. Thanks for joining us. Let's get into this one, Melissa, because I find this one quite interesting. The oldest Gen Zers are in their late 20s now, and they're having the same realization we all have eventually. Maybe the decision you made in your youth weren't as great as they could be. Maybe we all made some rough decisions.
Oh, yeah, that's probably true. We're all human.
That that band tattoo that you got, the band broke up like 2 days after, like that kind of thing. Mm. You know? USA Today did a big write-up on how a lot of Gen Zers are hitting the tattoo regret stage of their life. It's been trending on TikTok as we've gotten deeper into wedding season. A lot of brides are venting about how they didn't consider that their tattoos might clash with their wedding dress.
Oh, geez.
I would never thought of that, yeah. Regretting tattoos is obviously common, and not just with Gen Z. USA Today noted that millennials had to come to terms years ago with their own Harry Potter, Disney, or Infinity Stone signed tattoos. You're more likely to hear about it now, though, because Gen Z is the first generation to talk about everything online.
Yeah, that's true.
That is very true. And I'm not judging this at all, but I can easily tell the what age my students are, or because like some of them, hey, how was your day? How are you doing? Good. Moving on. I ask somebody younger than that, and I'm getting their life story. I'm getting it all.
Do you know what I had for breakfast this morning? Like, it was amazing. It was like this everything bagel, but I over-toasted it. And then my cream cheese was a little off, so I'm not feeling great. But how's your day?
It's a great impression. A popular influencer named Sarah Beth Clark spent tens of thousands of dollars on tattoos in her late 20s. Her arms and chest are covered, and she recently started having some of them removed.
Wow.
She says older people warned her she'd regret it someday. She decided to talk about it on TikTok because it's hard for some of her peers to admit, quote, that older people were right. I get that. I think every generation could get that. Every generation.
Yeah, I suppose so.
But this is the crux of youth and the crux of being older. You have wisdom and you want to share it. And this wisdom I'm saying, I'm not talking about like, I'm older, therefore I know better. It is the simple fact
it's just
of
life experience.
If you're older, you have more life experience. And so you can share certain insights. It doesn't make you smarter than the other person or anything like that. It's just data. And we don't take
lived
that data.
Experience.
Yeah. We rarely listen to that data. I had this told to me over and over again about tattoos. And then sure enough, I'm in Madison one time and I see this shop and my ex-wife and I were like, well, let's get tattoos. We go and get one. And I get one. And it was a symbol on my leg. And by the time I left the tattoo shop, I realized I had made a huge mistake. I then had a friend of mine try to cover it up. And that didn't go over very well either. So then I finally had somebody professionally do it, and Dawn, shout out to Dawn at Images and Ink, and it looks great now, and it's one of my favorite, if not my favorite tattoo, but I could easily still be, I had a determination in me, I will admit to the audience and all of you, there was no way I was going to die before I fixed that tattoo. I'm not going to the grave with that thing. I'm telling you right now, that was not going to happen.
Not that anybody's going to see your leg.
No,
coffin,
no,
but,
nobody.
Whatever works for you.
It was motivation. It was, but I think that this
we're
is
here at James Malos viewing, and all we're seeing is a leg.
Oh God, I'm just sitting there. My ghost is just freaking out.
It was in
out.
His will. I don't know, man. It was an odd request, but we had to follow it. Groovy fixed it.
Now the tattoo regret thing, I think that's all, you know, funny story and everything. But I one thing I do want to focus on is the idea of being more open to listening to each other and hearing each other out.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes that advice comes from people you don't expect. I have a wrist tattoo, and when I was talking, and I got it for my mother after she died, and my youngest brother was like, Melissa, do you think that's smart? You know, that's real visible. What about jobs down the road? I'm like, dude, you're 22.
That's funny. But he was onto something. He was trying to help you.
He's Absolutely. And this is something to consider.
Yes.
But, you know, every tattoo that I've gotten and the ones that I have planned, I have thought about them for years before I do them.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, there's a tattoo shop. Let's get Donald Duck.
Right. I have ever since then. I have very much thought them out. So I think that there's two angles on this one I would like to touch on. One, the idea of younger people listening to older people. Certainly, mm-hmm. we'd like to see a little more of that. But it's also older people, when you are giving advice or you're giving info or feedback or anything like that, how you deliver it.
The manner of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when you're talking down to somebody, of course they're not going to listen. I don't believe that anybody in human history has ever really responded to being talked down to.
Being condescended.
Being condescended. Yeah, because condescension doesn't work there, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I couldn't think of the right tense of that word.
I couldn't either.
Condescending. Don't be condescending.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, again, do you just want to feel right? Then that's your thing. But if you really mm-hmm. want your information to get across, I'm not saying that you got to spoon feed it to them or anything like that, but you know the person you're talking to. Speak to them how you know they'll listen to you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's all about the delivery.
Yeah. If I'm talking with one friend about something, it's, you know, I got a different approach than I do with another person. Mm-hmm. So just
sometimes it's nice to type it out all nice with good punctuation and all of that, and sometimes you have to send it in all caps so they listen. It's all about the delivery, and sometimes it hits home correctly, and sometimes it doesn't. You know, you just hope you get the right emojis back.
Mm-hmm. Little inside shot there. I love that. I love that. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you. I needed that. That loosened me up. Oh, I appreciate it. I wanted to touch on this one too. McDonald's. I gotta get my bearings.
Get it together, James.
Could McDonald's start selling salads again soon? The answer appears to be probably not. They dropped them from their menu back in 2020. I didn't know that. I didn't even know that. Huh.
I didn't know they had salads, to be honest. Mm. Not that I eat at McDonald's a lot, and if I'm going to McDonald's, I'm going there for a Big Mac and fries. I'm not going there for a salad.
Yeah, yeah. So they got the salads off the menu in 2020, and the president of McDonald's says that they'll gladly sell them again if the demand was there. But they found it's, quote, not what the consumers are looking for from us.
Right.
So,
well, and it depends on the country, too, because as we've talked about before, other McDonald's in other countries have different menus, which is kind of cool
mm-hmm.
in some ways.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Oh, I think it's very cool. And it's really mm-hmm. smart by any of these chains to adapt to the area.
Yeah. A McDonald's or a Big Mac is not going to go over the same way in India that it does here.
Right. And I want to say, I may be off on this one, but I believe I read McDonald's was the first company to start doing this, where they open up a McDonald's in Taiwan and they don't just have the same menu that they do here in the States. They adapt.
I think you're on the right track there.
It's definitely one of the things that has made them as big as they are.
Now, KFC didn't have to do that because fried chicken is good everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So what do customers want? Apparently this. McDonald's is adding a new Kit Kat McFlurry this week.
Oh, that'd be good.
I believe the opposite of a salad.
Come on. There's good things in there. There's dairy and there's dairy. It's kind of dairy.
Oh, and there's dairy.
Actually, McDonald's, so for those of us who are lactose intolerant, should know this, but if you don't, here's a pro tip. The ice cream at McDonald's, the soft serve, has the least amount of lactose of every fast food restaurant out there.
Whoa.
So I can digest it a lot easier than other ones. It's mostly sugar.
Hmm. Interesting. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it doesn't actually contain that much dairy.
It's
but it'll get you your calories for the day.
Mm, yeah. Oh, and this one even has banana in it. It's called Kit Kat Banana Split McFlurry.
Oh, it comes it's got fruit.
Yeah, it comes with a vanilla soft serve, real banana, strawberry clusters, and crushed up Kit Kat bars.
You know, that would be pretty good.
It doesn't sound bad. It's the second new McFlurry they have added in the past 2 months. They debuted their Grandma McFlurry back in late May. They say
what was that one?
Yeah, I don't know if we talked about that one.
Okay, you keep going. I'll look it up.
It's let's see. It's vanilla soft serve with crunchy bits of candy and a new flavor syrup. They say it tastes like Grandma's favorite treat that she hid in her purse.
Like a so hard candy.
I guess so. People,
that's what grandmas have in their purses.
People are saying online that they're like Werther's originals.
Werther's. Oh, so it's like a butterscotch candy.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be good. Now, I have to say that I do think McDonald's missed the mark, though. They should have done this new one with Reese's candy instead of Kit Kats, because it would have been peanut butter chocolate or peanut butter banana and strawberry, which would have been like a peanut butter and banana and strawberry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd have been going.
Yeah.
We will check in with our partners. We'll come back, and we've got a good one here for you. These dog breeds that are most at risk for heat stroke in the summer. We're going to talk about that when we come back on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. We sure hope you're having a great day out there. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. And we got some interesting stuff to get into, but I want to get to this one. We're going to talk about our furry friends, our four-legged dog friends. Mm-hmm. Heat stroke can hit anyone in summer, but dogs have an even higher risk. They only have sweat glands in their feet, and their main way of cooling down is by panting. So it's easy for them to get overheated.
Yeah, they're covered in fur.
And look, I am never, ever going to try to tell anybody, or especially anybody way up, what to do. It seems like a design flaw. That seems like a design flaw. Like being able to sweat through your feet, that does not seem like the best. Give them something else. You know, let them sweat, for the love of God. Let them sweat. According to Chief Veterinarian at Petco, dogs with these four features are the most susceptible. Flat faces. Dogs with short snouts tend to have narrow airways, so it's harder to breathe and pant.
Now that one lands on humans, the original creator, because they were designed that way.
Yep. I didn't know that bumper was still playing. Sorry.
just need some horns in the background. It's fine.
Yeah. So this brings up an interesting topic. What you just said there, Melissa, about these breeds that we've created. Because some rich person thinks it'd be fun to have a dog to look like this and a dog to look like that, and they put them together.
Yep.
I've had many conversations with many people about this, especially a lot of veterinarians and a lot of zoologists. And there is a thought, there is a feeling out there that when the last of one of those breeds go, to let them go.
Yeah.
And
because their lives are not necessarily pleasant because of number one issue you just mentioned. They can't cool down.
We really could actually learn a lot from dogs. I think that human beings have an incredible capability of loyalty and love. Dogs on a whole other level.
Oh, my goodness. We don't deserve dogs.
And with that, I think that we could do right by dogs by not doing this anymore. And it's not at all. I mean, there's a lot of great breeds out there. There are a couple breeds that I like that humans have created. But it's
Negative.
No, it's either. Not. I'm Jesus. What is with this bumper? I'm not at all trying to play anything here or nothing. And I certainly
the bumper that won't end.
Right. Yes. Outside of that. but I understand this isn't an easy topic or anything like that to navigate. There is no perfect answer with something like this, but it is something that I think we need to address in society and how much we're doing this just because we can do it. Like it should be about the dogs. We should learn from dogs here, be loyal to them, love them like they love us, and not put them through this just for our own sake. Cause no dog ever asked for this. None of these ideas came from a German Shepherd or anything. This is just what we wanted to do and what we force on them, and that ain't right. That's not how this should work. Long hair is the next one that comes up on the list. It's like wearing a sweater, so a summer haircut might be in order.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. Take them to a groomer and trim them up.
Young and old dogs, they're more at risk than dogs in their prime of their life.
That makes sense. Same is true of humans.
Yeah, my little fur brother Sammy, he's getting up there because he can't walk like he used to. He can't, and we can't go for as long of walks, but he keeps trying. He wants to, but then he gets a bed. I actually had to carry him the other day because he walked too hard.
Aww. Well, and that's part of the thing, too, with some of these things you're pointing out. Like, dogs, especially when they're getting older, and even some when they're younger, I was thinking about this the other day, you have to watch out for them. Some of these instances, because they don't know better.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to just go until, nope, heat stroke is set in.
Well, for Sam, he can't see that well. His vision is getting worse, and so he's just bumping into things. So I find myself really trying to direct him a lot so that he doesn't hit things.
Yeah.
And finally, dogs that are overweight or have other pre-existing conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Even breeds with without those features can get heat stroke. But she says the ones at the highest risk are bulldogs, boxers, pugs, Boston Terriers, Shih Tzus, Chow Chows, Huskies, and Golden Retrievers. It's almost every dog breed. Almost every dog breed.
I don't know. There's a lot of them.
There is a lot, yeah. The top signs your dog is too hot are excessive panting, drooling, deep or rapid breathing, weakness, vomiting, or looking disoriented. Ooh. And here are the main tips for keeping your dog safe this summer. Mm-hmm. Always have water available.
Yes.
Don't leave them outside for too long and make sure there's shade.
Yeah.
Don't walk them in midday.
Not when it's hot. Mm-mm.
And never leave them in the car, in your car, even if it's parked in the shade.
No.
And I have talked to Sheriff Becker about this. I have talked to our police chief here in Rapids about this. If I see that, I'm doing something.
Right.
I'm telling you right now. This is premeditated. I am telling you. I am not going to walk past a dog in a car that has the windows rolled up and do nothing.
Well, and even if they're cracked a little bit, that's not enough. Cars heat up really fast in the sun and in the shade. I mean, it's a box. How many times have you walked up to your car, even parked in the shade on a hot day, gotten in it and went, oh man, it's hot in here?
Yeah. They did this a while ago. We had some police officers show what it's like to be in a car like this. Mm-hmm. And they sat in there and they couldn't take it after 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not something that we should be putting anybody through.
It's not okay.
And it's also against the law in a lot of states, in a lot of places.
It should be. You wouldn't want to sit in a hot car.
No.
Even with the windows down a little bit. Try it sometime.
And again, this is all stuff that we're saying for the dog, for the animal, and for the betterment of them. And that's what this is about. If you're getting an animal for you and everything, that's cool. That's fine. But you got to also understand that it's not about you. It's not just about you, I should say.
No, they're a living being, and they deserve to be treated with respect.
Yeah, this isn't like a PETA thing or nothing like that. This is just being a good human being.
Decency.
Yeah, decency. Yeah, yeah. I mean, just treating another living creature well. I don't think there's anything far-fetched about that or hard to wrap your mind around. I mean, please call up 424-2600 if you think I'm completely wrong. But we always love to hear from you guys. But I don't see that happening. I don't see any of our listeners calling in on that one.
These are good reminders, too, because we're headed into some hot weather here as we get into the later parts of summer. And you know, heat stroke is a very serious thing for animals and humans.
Yes. So,
it's something to be very well aware of. All of the things that you listed could also pertain to humans.
Mm-hmm.
Stay hydrated.
Yes.
Stay in the shade. Don't be outside on hot days if you can avoid it. Never park yourself in a car with the windows rolled up.
Just try not to
just
do that.
Just don't do it.
Just don't do that. The city of Wisconsin Rapids has kicked off their downtown master plan project. This plan will be the culmination of outreach and stakeholder engagement efforts and will identify outreach themes, catalytic projects, and opportunities. We're very excited about this. We had Kyle Kearns in the other week talking about this. It's an exciting thing for our community, especially for those that want to be heard and have ideas and thoughts about this.
Yeah, and give their ideas and share them and see if something, you know, can come of it.
You can find out more and you know, add your feedback to this at wirapids.org/downtownmasterplan. That's wirapids.org. That is the city's website. You can find anything from there as far as the city-related things. Encourage you to do that. And if you have any direct questions, communitydevelopment@wirapids.org. Communitydevelopment@wirapids.org.
I believe that's the website you can sign up for updates or to be able to give feedback. There is a community workshop this week on the 11th at 6 p.m. to talk about the Foundry and the grant that they just got about that.
Yeah, which is an exciting opportunity, again, for the community to engage, but also to find out more information about this.
Yes, and that's at 6 p.m. at City Hall.
Go ahead and go to wirapids.org to find out more information, and be sure to bookmark that page. As it's a great way to keep up to date on all the things going on in your city. And be heard, everybody. You've got thoughts, you've got feelings. Go ahead and let them be heard. Yes. I also wanted to remind you of a couple of things coming up tomorrow that we always like to support. Our older mental health older adult support group, mental health support groups are meetings that offer a safe space for people affected by anxiety, depression, stress, and other mental health concerns. They meet monthly to discuss mental health and have guest speakers. They meet on the third Wednesday from 10 to 11 over at Aspirus, and you can find out more at ADRC at Lincoln Center. You can go ahead and email them as well at adrc@coportage.wi.us. Find out more about this one and be heard again, everybody. Yes. We'll take a time out. We're coming back with none but fun and positiveness and all kinds of great stuff. It's the morning show at WFHR.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248D.